Welcome to the You Matter podcast, where we host interesting people and have enlightening conversations. My name is Ned Burwell, and I'll be your host.
Hello, everybody. I'm here with my dear friend Ryan Beckett from Thamesford, Ontario. We're going to have an interesting discussion today. I think we've come to an age where we've passed the threshold of being bound by gender roles. I think we've got to that place in life. And we've come to an era where I think it's important to continue talking about what are gender roles and why is it important to transcend beyond and out of them. So I wanted to talk to Ryan because he's a guy that I think has had a past of being a typical, stereotypical male.
Oh, totally. That's a good start on it for sure. Yeah, that type of past for sure.
Absolutely. And then... In your recent years, you've really found a truer sense of self through some realizations you've had, some life experiences. So I'm here to talk to Ryan about that. So maybe we could start out with what is your definition of to be a man, and how has that changed from maybe 25, 30 years ago?
All right, Ned. Well, I guess that's a pretty big question to start off with right off the hop there. Can we maybe predate that a little bit and just maybe explain a little bit more of my male kind of energy or role or what I am as a person? I think that might help define a little bit more of that question, and then absolutely ask me it again maybe a little bit later on it.
Floor is yours.
Perfect. Well, I just wanted to give a little background for, I guess, some of the people that, you know, wouldn't know me or aren't from Thamesford, because I realize, you know, this is a podcast and we're not sure where this will reach in the depths of the world. So I grew up in the small town of Thamesford, played a lot of hockey. So I carry a lot of that type of energy of that contact sport, of growing up in a small community, of being, I guess, that masculine role model of that gladiator role for lack of terms on it. So that kind of background would be into what I grew up with and saw as the strong male. So I guess that gives you a little bit of into your question.
That's right.
I played junior hockey in the area with a lot of good coaches, a lot of good mentors. A lot of ones that also had that old stereotypical, the way to do it is bang and crash and go through things, mm-hmm. which I think as males, sometimes that's what we feel we need to do, is the only way to do things is just bowl over it and eliminate it. So I don't know if that's...
That's exactly the male approach, or the classic male approach to anything, is just brute force
the old you bring the old hammer out of your toolbox, and sometimes if that's the only tool you know, it's a great tool and it can be used for mm-hmm. a lot of different things, but there's a lot of other tools that you can mm-hmm. develop or use that are much more functional than a hammer.
That's right.
So, and I think that's where some of the bang and crash energy of hockey and you know, I got to a decent level of it. That was an identity that I kept of being a good hockey player. I played on some championship teams. I played with a lot of good guys. I played against, you know, ones that made it. I played with guys that made it to pro levels and mm-hmm. in different countries and into the NHL and that. So I have some of those deep ties into that. There was a lot of that mentality and that energy and that bang and crash that it beat up my body. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of trauma and different hurt, and like I'm talking physically and mentally, that came out of playing such a contact involvement sport.
So this sort of prefaces the background of what your experiences. And so during that time, to be a man would be just to pull that lip over your forehead and just move forward, right?
Yeah. And a lot of it, because that was kind of what you were taught, especially in the hockey world, of you played through physical injury. Like, you weren't supposed to show that you were hurt to the opponent or even your teammates sometimes, because that was part of what was seen as being brave, of just, you know, I've had injuries of like physical ones that most people wouldn't get out of bed for. And you got guys or line mates that are playing with something worse, right?
That's right.
So that, yeah, pull your lip up and just go through it type thing, and not really, I guess, come back and see how that attitude is good and serving in some ways, but not just the only way.
Mm-hmm. So let's circle back to the beginning then.
Yep.
What is your idea of what it takes to be a man today?
A man today. So changing that from that kind of stereotypical vibe, I like the term more of what I see as being a gentleman today. So in that term is that I can still carry that masculine energy through, that energy that serves me, or that defense tactics or different things I learned from hockey of where I'm strong physically, but a much gentler, more compassionate, the gentleman part of it, of where you don't have to bring that hammer out in every situation.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense to you, I think.
Absolutely. Can. Yeah.
So,
and so other components of leaning into that process of becoming a gentleman.
Yeah.
You know, we break down gentleman. It's really about being a gentleman.
Yeah.
And so what has been your process of learning to lean into that aspect of yourself?
Well, I think a lot of what I've done is I've had the pleasure of, I do have a great mentor of mine that was my grandfather, and he was definitely by terms a gentleman. And especially in his later years, he really encompassed being able to be that masculine role model, but also show that there is a side of femininity that can be immersed in with a male role model.
Mm-hmm.
He was also a very accredited war hero. So he had a very tumultuous time in his life, and he actually did change the course of history through some of his war efforts. Mm-hmm. In his later life, he tried to bring more of a message of not taking that conflict to the way that it had been in the past. There's other ways to resolve that. Mm-hmm. There's other ways to be, I guess, more of what he was by then, a gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
So he showed me a lot of different ways that a man can be a man and not through force.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that definitely it was a good way to show different values.
Mm-hmm. And I think some of our youth are displaying some qualities that are expressive of us learning how to transcend, you know, our gender and not be caught up in traditional roles or feel that we're confined within those roles. Because I myself, like I wasn't in the sports, but I felt like I had to conform and be a man. And my ideals or ideas from that were driven from the ideas of society, my friends, the way my father acted back then. And so I would just, I felt my place was to mirror what I saw in the world. But as I learned how to become a gentleman and a gentle man, I started to, in lieu of mirroring what the world said that I needed or had to be,
mm-hmm.
I started to become more of who and what I truly am.
Yeah.
I started to learn how to listen to that part of me that transcended my mind. And I started to listen to the part of me that spoke beneath my emotions. Right. And furthermore, I started to look at my emotions as if they were information, but not who and what I am. And because as a typical classical male, we're told not to have emotions. And the only emotion that's generally acceptable is anger, you know, to have that aggressive, those Absolutely. Aggressive emotions.
That's very much what we were brought up with in our age bracket. And I definitely think for part of what was available to me, I did do a specific journey with a friend down to Mexico who has the availability of some different plant medicines that what I found with it and what's going on in that community and what relates to a lot of people that have suffered some of the traumas that I would have went through in hockey or soldiers or different ones with the repetitive hitting and noises and different things with that. Some of these new, well, they're not new plants, but ways that they're bringing this, the healing to people is you experience plants, which it happens to be psychedelic. So that's not necessarily for everyone. Different points in their life, some people may feel attracted to that. It was something that I felt was an opportunity for me to try and go down and deal with some of those physical traumas. And they're finding that a lot of people like myself or soldiers or different people, when they experience the plant medicine, are able to have a better thought process. It for me, it was like almost, I guess myself, it felt like there was a cloud, a fogginess that was relieved from doing that part of my trip down to Mexico. And that helped bring back a different consciousness that allowed me to work through things differently from a different point of view. And I think a lot of that helped change my perspective of looking at things. And it was interesting how in that time in my life that your book came across kind of my way. The one of the Awakening was the one that really spoke to me at that time. And by reading your delivery of messages through there was a lot of connections that I felt I'd made for myself, partially through that journey and trip to see that friend of mine down in Mexico, and then just through life lesson. And I don't know, it just all seemed to come together.
That's
that
great.
I didn't have to live through some of those old patterns or that old bang and crash mentality. Now to relay that kind of forward into what I see in some of the youth and some of the children now, of I see that there might be that opportunity for them with not having as much of those gender roles kind of forced down. I don't know if force is the right word, but it was, that's just more what we kind of grew up in. I don't know if you,
They seem to be demanding that they're insisting that they're not going to conform on a lot of levels.
Yeah.
Not so much that we're not imposing that so heavily on them, but rather I from what I see a lot of the times, and it may not be all the cases, but they're just saying, no, I'm not participating in that.
Yeah.
And I think that's refreshing to see.
Yeah.
You know, I do remember you sharing your experiences about your reflective journey down to Mexico.
Yeah.
And I share similar experiences in the way that when I was going on retreats and gaining that reflection, it was such a valuable tool for me to awaken to a deeper part of myself. And is that necessary for everybody to go away, have an experience and come back? Maybe it is, maybe it's not. But I think for me, pulling back out of my own situation and taking time to go on a retreat where I became very vulnerable and hyper aware of who and what I am, stripped away of all this personality that I had gained.
And I think that mirrors so much of my experience. Mine just happened to be that, I had the plant medicine available to me, and that was a path that I ended up with for that experience. But very much. It doesn't need to be that it's a plant derivative that gets you to that state. It could be so much. It could be through breath work. It could be, mm-hmm. you know, different spirituality work. There's so many other modalities that just happened to be where it really helped reset kind of my brain, is the way I feel. And then now it's opened up a lot more avenues where I'm more receptive into, you know, different meditative work, even to Wim Hof as the Iceman. He set many world records up north in the cold waters, and I know cold water therapy so bubbling right now, but that's something there that people can get into those different states of consciousness with a different modality, and it's all part of a one connectiveness, I guess.
Yeah, so we've sort of merged now from talking about transcending gender roles to how to position ourselves to become more awakened.
Absolutely.
And I think to transcend a pattern, there has to be some sort of an awakening. And what the catalyst is for that awakening will be different for everyone. But if you're a male and you're feeling maybe misplaced or out of sorts with the status quo of your life, that maybe there's a nudge in there that your spirit or your soul is calling for an awakening. And I think it's important to what's coming at you, what's showing up in your life. We were just talking about this on the front porch.
Absolutely.
I love how Ryan is always conscious of what's going on around him, what's coming into your life, and you're just open and entertaining it. Doesn't mean that you're easy and gullible.
No.
It means that you're receptive.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great tip for people that are feeling maybe subdued by their lives or feeling subdued by the status quo of how they've behaved all their lives, but inwardly they maybe feel differently.
Yeah, well, totally. And that's where I guess hopefully they can find what it is to kind of push them forward into the next level of openness. Because, you know, I know it can be I could see as sitting as a male, it can be difficult to talk about feelings. that's a lot of what, because we're, again, back, we're told to, mm-hmm. or taught a lot of times to repress them. Or again, like you said, where anger is kind of sometimes seen as the only acceptable one. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not very good. That's not good teaching. That's not what we should be, you know, showing the youth or displaying to them. So yeah, it's good to try and come up with a different mindset. Mm-hmm. And hopefully some of those people that are on the fence of that, they kind of feel that in their gut of, well, I want change. Hopefully they can start seeing that there's other avenues out there.
In my first foray into exploring my emotions outside of the context of anger, we're not graceful, you know. it's pretty awkward, you know. Yeah. I sort of felt out of sorts to drop just that one emotion. But I think it's such a necessary journey to you know, if you're feeling like you want change or you want to have some forward movement, next time you come up with the same old experience that you've had 1,000 times or the same old emotion mm-hmm. coming forward, whether it be sadness, anger, frustration, passiveness, whatever that emotion that's coming up into you, maybe dial it back a little bit and say, okay, underneath that, what am I feeling?
Yeah.
What am I feeling underneath this sadness? Is it really sadness that I'm feeling? And, you know, have you done some of that in your journey of awakening and self-discovery?
Totally. Absolutely. Like that's a lot of the self-work is going back and figuring out for me anyways, where that touches in an emotion of, okay. And sometimes I find that, where's that emotion? Why is it coming up now? And then trying to figure that out is very key. If you get to that level, then not attaching to that emotion mm-hmm. would be kind of another way of dealing with some things.
I've watched you in the last few years here go manage and work through a divorce.
Yep.
And we classically think, you know, that through a divorce, guys, we just hold this tough guy, stiff upper lip kind of persona. But I've watched you manage your emotions quite well. I haven't lived with you or so I haven't wrote out the whole experience with you. And I'm sure you've gone through all the gamut of emotions, but the balance that you've had through this journey of separation, which throws so many balls in the air.
Yeah.
Whether you're initiating a separation or your partner's initiating it, it's going to be difficult. I initiated my separation with my ex-wife, but it was still an emotional journey that I had to go on.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of work on the other side of that decision to leave.
And I think the best way I can describe what really helped me or really worked was, I'll go back to my journey down to Mexico. A lot of what I dealt with mentally was either, a battle or a really deep look into ego, and being able to confront whatever that was for me or whatever stigma was behind it, and being able to really release the ties to that. Mm-hmm. So for me, that, I guess, a good way of, if I went down there as the old, hard-nosed hockey player, I was able to release that attachment I had to being that hard-nosed hockey player. That guy, okay, he served a purpose. Yeah. He's up and gone. So being able to release that part of my ego really served me to be able to release other attachments of who my ego would be. Mm-hmm. So that goes into, okay, well, at one point, yes, I was a husband with a wife. Well, during separation and divorce, well, that title disappears. So that part of ego, wherever that lies with you, you're confronted with it. So I think with that work I put in Mexico, and to backtrack it a lot too, Ned, there was a lot of work that I did before going to Mexico with myself and previous partner that really was very fruitful in the end. And that was, again, just looking back at self, of getting into who I was and being able to figure out what parts of those serve me or don't anymore.
So one, maybe you could sum this conversation up with your concluding thoughts and maybe point it towards giving somebody advice for, or another male advice to, how do we reach into that deeper aspect of ourself, of who we really are? How do we become a gentleman?
Oh, I guess for myself, it was being able to look deep within myself. And a lot of it was come to peace or give myself forgiveness for some of the way I carried myself in the past. Mm-hmm. And part of that forgiveness was, I used a hammer for a lot of things. But that's okay. That's not me today. Mm-hmm. So that if I'm offering up advice to other guys would be, is if you feel like you're in that type of spot for yourself, or that there's nowhere else to go other than kind of, that fight and punch, and that hopefully you can have someone in your corner to talk to that allows you to see that that's not just the only way. Mm-hmm. There's lots of books. There's lots of things out there. For me too, it was a time in my life that I was able to get rid of, some components like alcohol and that really didn't help my thing. So some of that is, some people might find eliminating certain things in their life, that's a good start. Mm-hmm. Because you can have a different perspective to carry forward.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's really giving answers of where people totally run out and go to, but absolutely. I guess it's so individualistic that there is, and there's people there that are there to listen. That's why you're doing these podcasts. That's why you're putting out some of these platforms, that there's lots of avenues that you go onto a Ned Burwell site or or that, but it connects into a lot of other people or places that might be more fitting mm-hmm. for people in certain search situations
yeah.
to find, I guess, that outlet that they need to help them right. overcome what doesn't feel good anymore. Mm-hmm. And they know it's not supposed to be there.
Mm-hmm. So my concluding thoughts is that I'm going to answer the question yeah. I asked Ryan. Yeah. At the beginning, I asked him, what is your definition of being a man? I feel like the most modern definition of being a man is having strength and courage to do all the things that men do, but also having the ability to reach into compassion and gentleness when needed. I think being a man is become in this day of age is learning how to balance our mind and emotions, balancing our emotions so that they become tools that help us connect more deeply with other people and to connect deeply with all the situations that arise in our life. I think being a man is more about learning how not to be a stereotypical man, and to be a real man is to stand up in your soul, because the truth of it is, within my soul, there's no such thing as gender. And to transcend this idea that we are this physical manifestation walking the earth, yes, we're in this body, but we're not of it. So to be a man today, I think ultimately we need to transcend this physical idea that we are this body. Hope that's some food for thought. Hope everyone's having a wonderful day. I appreciate the time that you've taken to listen. Share this with your friends. Share this message with anyone you feel needs to hear this. Take care. Bye. And thanks, Ryan, for being my guest here today.
No problem, buddy. Anytime.
Yeah.
Always enjoy our chats.
Absolutely.
Thank you for taking time to listen. Stay tuned for our next episode of the You Matter podcast. Have a wonderful day.